Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up the cross. Now, don't put it down. I want you to reach out and grab the cross. Denying yourself. Cross, death, death. You're going to reach out and leave yourself back here, and you're going to grab hold, as it were, mentally of the cross, denying yourself. And thus, follow. We can't be on the same page with God unless we seek to understand how to be on that page. Thus, you must take up your cross and follow me. So now, over, if you would, to chapter 27. The believing heart is to take up the cross, as it were, denying oneself, and follow him. Discipleship. Matthew chapter 27, picking up, please, in verse 40. This is on the cross now. And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, as they're mocking him, and buildeth it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. So come down. Now I have to understand, I must get to the cross. They wanted Christ to come off the cross. He could not come off the cross. He would not come off the cross. That's why he came, to go to the cross. Over, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. They would let the world, men, people, would like him not to be on the cross. Because if we can get rid of the cross, then we are going to be humans, at least in the middle of time here, comfortable. But in the light of the cross, we ought to be very uncomfortable. Philippians chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 7. Oh, I need to read verse 5 again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. What for? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Come down from the cross. I can't come down from the cross. For this cause I came into the world, to die. I must go to the cross. That's why I was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if I may, in verse 17. Remember now the cross. The cross is the center point. He had to go to the cross, come down from the cross. And now what's the world going to do if you don't come down from the cross? What's the world going to do when we go to the cross? You have to balance that out. What's the world going to do? Him to get down so the world backs off, and we to go to the cross, and the world's going to get us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Reason, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, so the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world. Okay, hang on to that. Going over to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or the Gentiles foolishness. So now, here we are. And if we represent the cross, which he wouldn't come down from, how is the world going to receive that? It's foolishness. Foolishness. The Greeks, it's that stupid. And to the Jews, how can God die? God can't die. That was their problem. God can't die. And they're right. God can't die. But God in Christ could die. Now, in the light of that, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you will note, please, 1 Corinthians 2. Picking up, if I may, in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, the witness of God. Well, what is that? For I determined not to know anything among you, save except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Here he is in a great cosmopolitan city like Boston, New York. That's what he did. And he had the intellect, he had the means and way of words, of knowledge, of position, prestige. He was a very prestigious person in the world. And wow, he came just saying what? I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Crucified. 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 But the world doesn't want to know that. The world wants him to come down from the cross. But crucified, crucified. Now, over, please, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1. And you will note, please, if I may go, this is the Apostle Paul's testimony. And it's relevant in where we're going. Galatians 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, God gave me physical life, and God was going to give me spiritual life. On the Damascus Road, I'd get saved. Verse 16. How did you get saved, Paul? To reveal his son in me. I would understand when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I would be saved. He is the Savior. To reveal his son in me that I may preach unto you, I preach him among the heathen nations. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul, you got saved. That's right. God revealed his son. He that hath the son hath life. He that hath not the son of God hath no life. Chapter 1, verse 24. How did the world see Paul, who got saved and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior? Galatians 1 and 24. They glorified God. Where was God? In me. In me. I received the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what the spirit of Antichrist is. If you receive not Jesus Christ in the flesh, what do you mean? God incarnate. That's imperative. And the world doesn't want to do that. And that's why Antichrist and all of that, anti-God, anti-church, etc. And they glorified God in me. Over, please, staying on that thought. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this physical body, I live in the faith, in God's wonderful saving grace, in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul, what are you saying? I revealed that the Lord Jesus Christ, I received him as my Savior. Everyone knew, and they all understood back then, no development of darkness and apostasy. Back then, it was a little less dark. And at that point, they knew. Paul said, I've received God as my Savior. And thus, Paul, what are you going to say? I have a wonderful new life. I'm a new creature in Christ. So when you see me, you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, who you crucified. But we don't want him crucified. We want him off the cross. That's the one message we don't want to hear. The cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. I don't want to hear the cross. The cross is trouble. Hang on. Over if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and if I may, in verse 6. Paul, what are you going to tell the believers? Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another of a different kind, gospel, which is not another, different word, of the same kind. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So here's Paul writing to the believers out there in Galatia and writing, and he tells them that there's another gospel out there, and it is being pushed and propagated, a gospel, which is not the gospel at all. Let's see what it is. Over, if you would please, to chapter 6. No, before we do that, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And you will note, what is the problem? What is the problem going on? Well, the problem is that there are others that are telling you we don't have to have the preaching of the cross, not like that. Chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get hung up with the, don't lose the simplicity of the gospel, the wonderful, wonderful good news. Don't let other things and other people, persons, places, words, don't let anyone, anything rob you of the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. Now, in the light of that, verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you're going to be circumcised, now what are they looking for? Well, people are always looking to do something to give them a little extra merit condition. And thus, you remember our Lord would say it as we did on Sunday, without me you can do nothing. But we want to be able to, the cross, well, we'd like to have a little bit more. And you'll hang on, you'll see it in a minute. We got to have a little more. So what do we have? Well, the Jews have the rite of circumcision, and the Jews, that gives them a sign, a symbol of their connection to the Mosaic covenant, to the law, and it gives them a connection to the Jews. Here we are, Gentiles and Jews, and you don't want to be just a Christian, a believer in the cross. You want to be able to have a little bit, and you're adding something to the good news. Now, if I take this water, and here it is. Now, if I take a little, you have to make believe. I take a little, what's a good, a little strychnine? Cyanide. A little bit. Same water, would you drink it? Unless I forced you, you wouldn't drink that. It's contaminated. The gospel is contaminated. You're bringing in other things. You're saying the content of the gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ. And now you're telling me that something or someone else needs to be added to his wonderful person. He's God. We need to add something to his person to make it work. Wrong. You don't have to do that at all. And thus, you're pushing circumcision. And if you do, you lose the gospel. You lose the message. You lose the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You lose the benefits, the blessing, and the bliss. Now, verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So if you're going to go and not going to go by the gospel, which sets you free, then you're going to have to go and earn it. And you can't earn it. So you're going to go and be circumcised, and you want to go under the law, then you've got to keep Deuteronomy 27. The last statement, if you don't keep the whole law, W-H-O-L-E, if you don't keep the whole law, and you offend in one point, you're guilty of what? Of the whole thing. Now, what do you want to do that for? There's no way to win on this. So now, Paul, what are you telling him? Well, I'm trying to help him to get out of the predicament that some of them are in. Now, in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. It's of no profit. Nor uncircumcision, no profit, whether you're circumcised or not. But faith that worketh by love. You've got to believe God. You've got to believe the gospel. Faith reaches outside of you. That's why everyone has it. So you don't have to, what do I have to qualify me? Zero. Zero. God qualifies you. And you, by faith, reach out to the one who qualifies you. No matter who you were, a prince, a king, a pauper, you'd have to reach out to get saved by the same God in the same way. Now, in the light of that, hold your finger in Galatians and go over with me to the book of Acts of 100 places. The book of Acts, chapter 15. And remember the great issue came up in Acts 15, the great council in Jerusalem, about whether the Gentiles need to be under the law like the Jews, and the whole council of Jews got together to settle it in the Spirit of God. So in chapter 15, though, interesting to hang on, verse 24, 15 and 24. For as much as, here's James and Peter and John, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised to keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And circumcision or uncircumcision isn't the issue. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. That was under the law. Now, hang on. Over in your Bible, if you would, chapter 6 of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. And you will notice, please, verse 12. For as many as desire to make a fair show of the flesh. In other words, we want to put on a little display. We want to make a fair show of the flesh, of our fleshly, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They constrain you. What do the people want you to do? They want you to be circumcised. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross. So they don't want to. They don't want to preach the cross. You're going to pay for that. So you don't want to preach the cross. No. So, but circumcision, we'll fit right in. The Jewish people would applaud us, etc. So now, chapter 6 and in verse 13. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised and keeping the law, those are the people that are telling you to do this, but desire to have you circumcised. Why do they want you circumcised? So that they may glory or boast in your flesh. In other words, see what we've gained. See the people that have been converted. See the people that have come our way. See what we've got them to do. We've got them to line up with the Jewish system of circumcision, etc. Now, having said that, over, please, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, chapter 6 and in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So here they are, they're propagating the flesh. They're propagating that which gives them some merit, some credential, something to say you've done the right initiation, you can belong to the club. You can belong to the club. Have the right thing, say the right thing, you can belong to the club. Okay? Now, that's what they were doing. They were losing the simplicity of the gospel. Now, in the process of that, no flesh is going to glory in his presence at all. Now, chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul, what are you doing? I'm trying to tell you, they are honoring their own system, and they want you all to join their system and to become like them. And you're going to lose the wonderful glory of the gospel. So thus, Paul, tell me your testimony. But God forbid that I should glory. If I were to truly do this, and I may not, is the language. If I were to truly do this, I'm not going to boast in it. But if I did, God forbid that I should glory, save, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would glory, save, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to glory in flesh or works or circumcision. I'm going to glory not in Paul. He's a Roman citizen. He was rich. He had a very prestigious family. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he was at the top of the pile. Paul said, if I'm going to boast about anything, I determine, 1 Corinthians 2:2, I determine nothing among you, to know nothing among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. You're sticking to it. Uh-huh. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I want to tell you why and how it works. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom, or by which, is the little pronoun, by whom or by which, by means of which, by means of the cross, by means of the cross. Verse 14, by whom or by which the world is crucified, has been crucified, perfect tense, has been and is crucified. The world is crucified unto me. Unto me the world is crucified. So now, what are you saying, Paul? Well, when I look at the world, I want you to know, I'm not caught up. I understand the wonderful, wonderful truth of the cross. To me the world has been crucified on that cross. The world stands, and Paul, you're looking at the cross, When you see the cross, what do you see? I see the whole world system is condemned. God has condemned the whole world system. And what I see when I see the world system, I see a dead carcass hanging on that cross called the world system. What do you see? I see the world as a dead carcass. And all of its allurements, all of its attractions are diminished. Dead corpses don't don't excite people. All the terror, all the fear, all the frustration the world can put upon me, no more. I see the world as a dead carcass. I see the world. Now, over to hold your finger here, and to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, may pick up, please, in verse, we're all going directly, if I can, verse 17. For the world passes away, the whole world system is on the way out. And the lust thereof, and all the allurements and all the entertainment and all the stuff, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But the world system and all of its allurements, all of its attraction, everything about it, work, home, food, school, play, riches, wealth, coming, going, health, everything, it's all there. It's all condemned, all dying. You say, no, it isn't. Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the proof of that is, A, all of the millions and billions and millions of people that have died have already discovered that you brought how much in and you take how much out. So they already discovered that. See, and if you don't believe that, go down to the nearest cemetery just for a little visit and take a little walk among the stones, and you'll find what? They have discovered that everything that the world system had to give them, even if they were a billionaire, is nothing. And if we just wait long enough, look at history, and all of the great powers and civilizations, one after another, are no more. No more. We were trusting in Assyria, but Assyria is no more. We're looking at all of the different ones, and they all disappear in looking at it from a human perspective. They all disappear. Gone? The world system. I want you to know, I want you to see it as dead. I have condemned the world system. That's why all the allurements, the attraction they get us and the woman gets us and all that stuff. And where's she going to take us? To death. Where does it go? To death. We follow the line and we end up in death. Well, that didn't come out all right. It looked like it would be okay to do. But hey, it's no good. It ends in death. Maybe it wasn't so good. Paul said, I see the world system hanging on the cross as a dead carcass. And chapter 6 and verse 14. And the world is crucified unto me, and in reverse, I am crucified, I to the world. I am crucified to the world. The world sees me as a believer representing the Lord Jesus Christ, which is foolishness to the world. And you know, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man sees all of it as foolishness. So you start to say, well, what the cross? Here we are celebrating communion. Well, the cross, that's foolishness. Why? Because you don't understand how to latch on to the benefit. And you're caught up. We get caught up in so many things and we lose out on the simplicity, the wonderment of what you've done for us, God. Thus, Paul, the end of verse 14. The world, I am crucified unto the world. And the world sees me. The world looks at me, as it were. And as it looks at me, yeah, I show forth and I point to the cross. The world sees the cross as foolishness. They see it as unfit for their purposes. The cross doesn't answer one blessed good thing for the world system. So the world system, Paul said, I am, but to the world, on the cross, if I'm going to preach the cross, they're going to deal with me just like they did with Christ. Hang them on the cross, a dead carcass. The world system, in reverse, looks at Paul I am a dead man to them, and I am no problem to them. I am no use to them. I am no value to them. None whatsoever. Wow. None whatsoever. So I am, and thus the world system's power and position in the light of it has little account, and Paul on Calvary's cross is unfit. He is seen as a dead carcass, and so are you. In the light of heaven, you say, my neighbors don't feel that way. They may think you're sort of dead, but in heaven, the good guys see you as dead. Reckon yourself what? Dead indeed. That's how they see you. But who sees ourselves? We don't see ourselves like that. No. And thus, we're caught up. The world's going to grab us. And we're going to try to take part of it and leave part of it. And we want to be able to be free so that we can function. Home, work, school, play, coming, going. To function without getting all entangled in it. Paul said, chapter 6 in Galatians, verse 15. 6, 15. For, reason, cause, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, is of no value, nor uncircumcision, that is no value. What is of value? What is the wonderful thing that happens? God made me a new creature in Christ. God made me a new creature in Christ. So good. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's what? Old things are passed away. Everything has become new. Do you see yourself like that? Paul said that's the way you win. That's the purpose of the cross. It put an end to the relationship. That doesn't mean you don't live in the world and try to be as responsible to everyone as much as you can. But hey, I don't belong here anymore. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're bought with a price. We're in the world, but not of it. Now, putting that together. Over, if you would, please. A new creature. And thus, God, the believing heart says, I know who you are, God. I trust you for being who you are. You are who you are. You have done what you've said, and you've said what you've done. You have done it all. You can and will do whatever you're going to do. You've given us your word without any question. You've given us your word and who you are and what you've done. God, here we are. And the world looks and they see what a saved believer, a sanctified, set apart, saved believer, called to be saints, aren't they? I don't know. I just caught a little word. I think they're trying to do that in Rome, aren't they? Trying to upgrade one of the people to be a saint. See? And it would really frustrate them over there, all those bishops and cardinals, if we all lined up and we introduced you. Saint, 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 saint. Wow. Now, so God, and we're a sinner, saved by grace. And why are we saved, and why are we sanctified, and why are we saints, and why are we sinners saved by grace? Because Christ died on the cross. And what are we going to emphasize? The preaching of the cross. And it's foolishness to the world. But hey, the world doesn't want to know. But that is the one thing that you and I need to proclaim and say. The Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, died, was buried, and rose again. Now, 1 John. 1 John. And let's just have a little exercise. You'll catch it, I trust. And you know, John 17, the gospel, John 17, verse 18, as my Father sent me, what? So send I you. Father sends me, I send you. Got that part? All right, now hang on to that. 1 John, again, And I'm going to go directly, if I can, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light as he is our identification in his death, burial, and resurrection. Where did you get that? When Christ died on the cross. He took you there. So what's our whole message? The gospel, Christ died for me and saved me and is my Savior. And that's the message. And the world doesn't want to hear that. They don't want to know that in its fullness at all. So now, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. In the light, as he is in the light. Is he in the light? He is the what? He is the light. Christ in you, the light of the world. Wow. So as he is, so are we. So as we go, we'll go to the grocery store, we go to school, we go to do whatever we do, wherever we go, get out of bed, go to bed, whatever we're doing, we're in the light. And I want to remember that as a believer. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin as we walk in the light, as he is. He is in the light, isn't he? Isn't he light? The light of your life. Wow. Now hang on. Let's see it again. Chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him, in Christ, ought himself also to walk, to live, to behave. Remember we just read in verse 7, if we walk in the light. They ought to walk even as, there was a little two words, as he what? As he walked. So here we are in the light, and here we are in whatever we do, eating and drinking, coming and going, and we're in the light. Because he's in the light. As he is in the light, as my Father sent me, so send I you. In the light. In the light. I'm going to understand the world is crucified, hanging on the cross, and the world sees me as hanging on the cross. Relationships broken. God has done something wonderful. He made us a brand new creation. Brand new creation. Wow. Now, over if you would please. Chapter 3. And in verse 2. I'll even read verse 1 since it's so. Well, no, verse 2. Beloved, now, N-O-W, are we the sons, children of God, even it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How so? How come? For we shall see him as he is. As he is. Uh-huh. As he is. As he is. Wow. As he is. I got it. And verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, this expectancy, this anticipation in the believing heart purifieth himself, even as what? As he is pure. So as I'm looking to God in our old lousy nature, here we are, and looking to God, and we're going to, as he is in the world, so are you. And here we are in the light, walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. And here we are moving through time and looking, and God says, as you do that, I see you. God the Father says, I see you in my Son. You are as pure as he is. How's that? The world is crucified to you, and you are crucified to the world. You are a new creature. Wow. Now in the light of that, over please. Over to chapter 4. Chapter 4. If I may. chapter 4, verse 17. Herein, 4:17, herein is our love made perfect. How is that? Why is that? That we may have boldness, free, frank, fearlessness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now you can't get it simpler than that. No big words, all little words. And you put all that together a little bit, and you're beginning to get the flavor of it. So that now we don't have to try to be trying to work out something in the wrong way. We try to get caught up, but we don't want to get caught up in the world system where we lose it. It isn't worth it. And besides, it isn't going to last. It isn't going to last. Wow. Now, in the light. Over, if you would, John chapter in the light. Let me read verse 17 again. Herein is our love made perfect, and that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, chapter 5. Chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 19. What do we know about the world? And we know that we are of God, the believing heart. Why do they know that? Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life happens to be found where? In his Son. Paul said, he revealed his Son in me. That's why I had life. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 19. We know that we are of God. And the whole world system. We're to see it as a carcass hanging on the cross. Lieth. It is presently lying. In the wicked one, in the evil one. And remember, we shared a magnificent, to get the gist of that, just think of a large casket. Big casket. And the whole world is in the casket. And the devil owns the casket. The whole world system is in the wicked one. In his box, already caught. And God saves us out of it. And the world says that they don't want to see us different. They don't want to see us saved. Saved, simply, what you do? Nothing. God, in his wonderful grace, saved me, and I become very obligated to be a believer, saint, sanctified, and all the stuff that goes with it. Now, and thus, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. We do? That we may know him that is true. Okay. And we are to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This, by the way, is the true God and eternal life. Now, what do you know? If you were to read and take time, 1 Corinthians 11:26. You'll take of this bread as often as you eat of this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup. You do show the Lord's what? Death until he comes. What's communion doing? Preaching death. His death, my death, your death. And in the same breath, our life. What do you think? So, it's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. And I want you to get, we're living in a day that people don't understand. Remember back years ago when people died? Some of you don't know that. People die and you bring the body into the house. We're up in the third story or something. And they, mortuary guys come up and bring the body of your mother or your father or whoever it is, bring it up the stairs, and then they put it in the living room, usually someplace like that, and set it up and put a few flowers around it if you have them, and you could even do that, and they'd have that, and thus it was, and when a cat died, we didn't call Congress. And when people got hurt, it didn't knock us out of business. Newtown would have never done that yesterday. It would have never happened. Not that way. Different world. And thus, we were used to what? Death. We were used to death. And we understood it. I wonder how much it's understood by the smartphones today. How much does a smartphone help you understand death? Wow. And thus, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. It's a wonderful thing. The preaching of the cross. Not ashamed of it at all. No. Foolishness it may be. But we aren't trying to be like anybody. God has made us to be like Him. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to You to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank You very, very much for Your Word. Help us understand. Spirit of God, to lay hold of the magnificent benefit You've given us already. You've already made it so that God, when You see us in Your Son. And when You see the world, when we see the world, our God, the world has no hold. No, it isn't going to terrify, no. It isn't going to attract and give us allurements to go nowhere. On the contrary, God, You have freed us from such, if we would but exercise that truth. God, deal with our heads and our hearts, even now, in Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza.